African American Sacred Songs as History from National Public Radio and the Smithsonian Institution. I'm Bernice Johnson Regan, and this is Wade in the Water. Listening to the voices of civil rights activists during a mass meeting in a Greenwood, Mississippi church. It's the Civil Rights Movement, 1963. The song is Wade in the Water, a 19th century spiritual. On this night, in the middle of a struggle to win the right to vote, it is a freedom song. African Americans sang their sacred songs to create church. Singing is an expression of communion with the Spirit. These songs often go beyond the function of worship. Sometimes black people sang to give themselves courage during struggles against oppression. These songs have been called into service to work as editorials, to lay out strategies, to document history.
Still away, still.
The use of music by African Americans to create an oral record is as old as the people. During the period of slavery, blacks used music to sing about what they couldn't say. For example, a song like Steal Away. According to the folk tradition, this song expresses the desire to escape to freedom. It actually announces the call for a meeting. In this program, we'll move through issues and events of the 20th century documented within the sacred song repertoire of African Americans. The tunes and melodies of the church release themselves to tell the story of the whole life of the people. Whether it was the tragedy of war, ship sinking, the celebration of a victory by Joe Louis, the heavyweight champion of the world, or President Roosevelt calling the country together because of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, black people and their songs responded.
Yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
The Second World War had just begun.
15 rounds for the world's heavyweight championship.
Right and left to the head, a left to the jaw, a right to the head.
Joe Louis represented an opportunity that if you give us a chance, if you let us compete on equal grounds, we can absolutely be champions.
Now let us talk about the brown bomber. Tell the nation this story. Let us talk about the brown bomber. Joe Louis was a fighting man.
Well, let us.
keep this movement going, keep this movement rolling, in spite of the difficulties, and we're going to have a few more difficulties. Keep climbing. Keep moving. If you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But by all means, keep moving.
One of the early events that captured the attention of the black community was the sinking of a ship in 1912. It was called the Titanic, and on its first voyage, it ran into an iceberg and went down. For black people, the great Titanic had met the power of God. The Georgia Sea Island Singers, led by Bessie Jones, perform a church song about the Titanic. God moved on the water.
The Titanic had left Southampton with all their sport and game. But when they struck that iceberg, I knew that mind was changed. Children, God moved on the water. April the 14th day, yes, God moved. Out on the water, Lord, this boy had been running free. Yes, the mothers had told their daughters, says on the precious trip you may go. But when they struck that iceberg, they haven't been seen anymore. Then God moved out on the water, April the 14th day.
Oh, yes, God. It was an incredible experience to run into songs that had places and names and dates in it. I remember one of the earliest was my father rocking some baby to sleep. I'm not sure which one of my sisters and brothers. And he was singing a song about the Titanic. And it went, many hearts surrendered on the sea, on the sea, many hearts surrendered, crying, near my God, to thee. 14th day of April, 1912, 1,500 went down in the ocean to dwell. Many hearts surrendered. One of the first papers I did using songs as documents took this song that was in my mind, and then I went and read things on the sinking of the Titanic. Well, it sunk April 1912. And I thought, he knew it. Then, this Nero, my God, to thee. Many hearts surrendered on the sea, on the sea. Many hearts surrendered, crying near my God to thee. Well, I ran on a newspaper article and said that as the lifeboats that had some of the survivors looked back at the Titanic, the people who could not get off because there were not enough lifeboats were standing, singing, Nearer My God to Thee. And the more I looked, the more I found that within the range of songs we would create as a people, we would get very specific. This song says, tell me Jack Johnson tried to get on board. Captain Smith just looked at him and said, boy, we don't haul no coal. Many hearts surrendered. Now, Jack Johnson was the heavyweight champion of the world. And This was a racist ship. They did not want blacks and Jews on this ship. The other thing about this ship is that they swore that they had conquered the seas. This is 1912. The NAACP is organized in 1909. And at the same time, things got so bad here that you start an organization to stop lynchings. You have a ship being launched in Europe by this same culture that says they are able to conquer the sea. And of course, the African American, we were maybe wondering, when can we stop this madness? And when the Titanic went down, it was evidence that there was a higher law.
Well, 14th day of April, was in 1912, when the ship had a wreck by an iceberg, it went down forever to dwell. God knows he moved out on the water. April the 14th day. Oh, yeah, God moved. It's almost too sad to tell. Oh, yeah. 1,600 went down forever to dwell. Then God knew out on the water, April 14th.
In the black community, everybody seemed to have a song. Every congregation, every quartet could sing about the Titanic. And a news story had been captured in a black church song.
Well, it was sad when that great ship went down. Well, it was an awful sight. Everybody stayed awake all night. It was sad when that great ship went down.
The Dixie Ayers sang about it.
Well, that ship began to rock. Oh, no, when the iceberg struck the ship, it go. The captain and his crew didn't have nowhere to dock. In the watery grave, and I hope their soul will be saved. Oh, Lord, it was sad when that great ship went down. Well, it was sad when that great ship went down. Well, it was an awful sight. Everybody stayed awake all night. Oh, Lord, it was sad when that great ship went down. Well, wasn't it sad when that great ship went down? It was sad when that great ship went down. Well, it was an awful sight. Everybody stayed awake all night. It was sad when that great ship went down. Well, they started out from London to New York, tried to come. When an iceberg struck the vessel and they could not make the run. Now they're in the watery grave. Lord, I hope the soul will be saved. Well, Lord, it was sad when that great ship went down. Well, it was sad when that great ship went down. Well, it was an awful sight. Everybody stayed awake all night. It was sad when that great ship went down.
Tragedy was not the only subject of these songs. Celebrations and high points were also a part of this sacred music. This was certainly the case with Joe Louis.
Right and left to the head, a left to the jaw, a right to the head, and Donovan is watching carefully. Louis measures him, right to the body, a left up to the jaw, and Schmeling is down. The count is 5, 5, 6, 7, 8. The men are in the ring. The fight is over on a technical knockout. Max Schmeling is beaten in one round.
The German fighter Max Schmeling stopped by the great Joe Louis, and we all shouted. Joe Louis not only spoke to the black community, Joe Louis was a world phenomenon. He was special for black people because he was a black man who could go into the ring against a white man and in an honest fight come out victorious. In a time when this was almost impossible in the United States, It was dangerous in everyday life for a black person to be in open conflict with a white person. The system was not even-handed or fair. Joe Louis evened things out in the ring. There were those who desperately wanted to find a boxer, a white boxer, to beat Joe Louis. So every time he went into the ring, he carried the hopes and dreams of his people with him. Radio show host and oral historian Studs Terkel.
Hitler's favorite was Max Schmeling, the German, who beat Joe Louis before, and he was proud of white superiority over the Schwarz, using the German phrase. When Joe Louis came back and knocked him out, it was something. So this other guy and I, we turn off the set, let's go to the South Side, which is a black community, and we rush out there, and the streets were full of people. It is as though it were Independence Day, Liberation Day, Mardi Gras Day, Bastille Day, all rolled into one.
And people said all across America, blacks celebrated for an entire month because Joe Louis had finally become the heavyweight champion of the world.
Joe Louis Barrow Jr. is the son of the great Joe Louis.
I remember once talking with an individual who said that he used to bang the pots and pans when my father won, because in black America across this country, literally people would celebrate Joe Louis victories for many, many years. And this black man said, "I'll tell you what Joe Louis meant to us as I grew up in the ghettos of Pittsburgh. I was slated to work in the steel mills. That's all that I could do. That's all that was expected of me. But yet today, I'm a college dean. And I'm a college dean because your father gave me the sense of self-worth and respect that I could do more than they were allowing me to do. I could do more than what was expected of me."
We called him the Brown Bomber. And that became the theme of a song recorded by the Dixie Ayers celebrating this great heavyweight champion of the world.
Now let us talk about the Brown Bomber. Tell the nation this story. Let us talk about the Brown Bomber. Joe Louis was a fighting man. Well, let us talk about the Brown Bomber. Tell the nation this story. Let us talk about the Brown Bomber. Joe Louis was a fighting man. Well, now stop, let me tell you this story, and I hope you'll understand. I want to talk about a mighty great fighting man. He fought with the master's hands. He was born way down in the lowland in the state of ALA. He's a farmer boy, so I was told. He had motherwit in his heart. Until one day he's thinking hard, thinking about the things involved. He packed his bag, kissed his mother in the door, and headed for old Detroit. And there he started to work and train. He never did have any fun. Until one day, to his surprise, up walked Mr. Blackburn. Then Joe Louis started his career. His future was at stake. He fought from the bottom through the Golden Glove and on to the heavyweight. Now let us talk about the Brown Bomber. Oh, tell the nation his story. Good Lord, talk about the Brown Bomber. Well, Joe Louis was a fighting man. Well, let us talk about the Brown Bomber. Oh, tell the nation his story. Let us talk about the Brown Bomber. Well, Joe Louis was a fighting man. Well, there's Canary smelling an old bear.
Just like the Battle of Jericho.
John Henry Luce, Jack Dempsey was there.
Way down in Jericho.
He fought Max Smelling the second time.
Just like the Battle of Jericho.
Knocked him down, took the crown.
Way down in Jericho.
Now a million people, they all were glad.
Just like the Battle of Jericho.
Greatest champ we've ever had.
Way down in Jericho.
Now let us talk about the Brown Bomber. Oh, tell the nation his story.
Good Lord, we'll talk about the Brown Bomber. Well, Joe Louis was a fighting man.
Well, let us talk about the Brown Bomber. Tell the nation his story. Let us talk about the Brown Bomber. Well, Joe Louis was a fighting man.
Now just read the story of his life.
Just like the Battle of Jericho.
His dear loving mother was the light.
Way down in Jericho.
She told him to pray, treat your neighbor right.
Just like the Battle of Jericho.
Very hard worker went to bed at night.
Way down in Jericho.
Now all you great fighters, you listen to me.
Just like the Battle of Jericho.
You'll never win a battle until you get on your knee.
Way down in Jericho.
Old Peter, Moses, James, and John.
Just like the Battle of Jericho.
Joshua fit the battle and the battle was won.
Way down in Jericho.
Now let us talk about the Brown Bomber.
tell the nation this story. Let us talk about the brown bomber. Joe Louis was a fighting man.
I grew up during the 40s hearing older people talk about the Depression. One saying was that the Depression in this country was a time when white America had to learn how black people had to survive all along. The country moved through this period under the leadership of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Many African Americans liked this man who seemed to care and remember those in the society who were desperate for food, shelter, clothing, and work.
In this nation, I see tens of millions of its citizens, a substantial part of its whole population, who at this very moment are denied the greater part of what the very lowest standards of today call the necessities of life. I see one third of a nation ill housed, ill clad, ill nourished.
This was during the time of World War II.
Legendary quartet lead singer of the Soul Stirrers, now retired, R.H. Harris.
Aladdin Recording Company asked us, we were with Aladdin, could we formalize a song that would project President Roosevelt and some of his laws that he put in force, not only for the upper class, but for mankind. See, when Franklin Delano Roosevelt came into the office of president, he shut down every bank in the United States. Every bank closed. And he reorganized the bank system and put people to work who were starving. That's how that come about, and we recorded it. What you think about Roosevelt, a poor man's friend?
Tell me why you like Roosevelt. Tell me why you like Roosevelt. Tell me why you like Roosevelt.
He was a good president till the end.
During Roosevelt's administration, Congress assembled. First time in history, appointed a Negro general. General Benjamin O. Davis, I'm trying to relate. First Negro general of the United States. Racial prejudice he tried to rule out by the Negro leaders into the White House. Advocated the fair practice of labor to let the poor man know he was our emancipator. Made Madam Bethune the lady of the land. Made part of his will of Mr. Pretty Man. Endorsed inventions of Dr. Carver. This is why they say he was an earthly father. He took my feet out of the mire of clay. I've had to look back at the WPA. That's why I like Roosevelt. That's why I like Roosevelt. That's why I like Roosevelt.
He was a good president till the end.
I've told you the history of Roosevelt's life. The world can say that he left a sweet wife. Hasn't been so worried since she were a girl. After Roosevelt's death, what would become of the world? She notified her son across the sea. Don't you all get worried about poor me, but keep on fighting for victory. Your father is dead, but you all are grown. I would worry about your father, but the world's in mourning. Sad about Roosevelt. And it's sad about Roosevelt. And it's sad about Roosevelt.
He was a good president till the end.
Well, great God Almighty, look what a time. England asked Churchill to resign. The fighting through the European war so hard. Put him out in the hands of the Almighty God. His success was at Tilly. Great God Almighty, what history. Only two presidents that we ever felt, Abraham Lincoln and Roosevelt. Wish Roosevelt could live to see all glory waving over Germany. But God Almighty knew just what was best. He knew that the president needed a rest. His battle done, fought victory done, won. Our problems have just begun. When your burdens get so heavy you don't know what to do, call on Jesus, he's a president too. It's sad about Roosevelt. And it's sad about Roosevelt.
and said about Roosevelt,
he was a good president till the end.
Tell Me Why You Like Roosevelt was written by Otis Jackson. He also wrote the ballad of World War II called Oh, What a Time. He used the same tune for both songs. Oh, What a Time was the single most popular song about World War II in the Black sacred music repertoire. It was a quartet song performed in the preaching ballad style, and it was sung by many community-based quartets. It was also recorded by the Soul Stirrers out of Chicago.
I wake up full and by a bond that will help the boys across the pond. They'll have a time.
Hello.
Oh, what a time.
Hello.
Then what a time.
Great God Almighty, now what a time. What a time.
Well, you read your papers and read them well. You know about the story that I'm going to tell. In the year of 1941. The Second World War had just begun. Oh, Hitler from Berlin stretched out his paw, brought the European countries into war. Hitler himself, he went out to plan in some little place they called No Man Land. He told his men, said, you need not fear, and I myself will be the engineer. Have a little patience, let me tell you the news. First thing he did, he put out the Jews. Next thing he did, to the European land, took many smaller nations under his command. That him and friends, they began to fight. He take them beautiful Paris late one night. Old Japan with a little sharp eye, pretend that he wasn't on either side. He came over here in the United States so he and Mr. Roosevelt could communicate. He did not act like a man would argue. He slipped around and bumped Pearl Harbor. That was a time.
It's a magnificent story. The preaching ballad style allows for a density of text and the relating of a lot of data about the war. It talks about Hitler, the specific arena of war. There are verses that talk about the sinking of the American ship, the taking over of European countries, including France, Hitler's genocide against the Jews, and verses that talk about rations at home needed to support the war.
Oh, Great Britain sent out a cry for the United States to send supplies. Our vessels got loaded and started across. Next thing we heard, our vessel was lost. This caused America to get displeased. Oh, Adolf Hitler tried to rule the scene. We sent him a message right straight from home. Said, man, you better leave our vessels alone or we'll have a time.
My Lord.
Oh, what a time. We'll have a time.
Great God Almighty, now what a time. What a time.
When the war was on, I couldn't joyride. They rationed my gas, rationed my tires. Told me over 35 was against the law. Had to save all my rubber just to win the war. Sweeten my coffee wasn't sweet enough. Men wearing our pants, we couldn't have no cuss. Your ration book were numbered 1 and 2. They were covered with stamps, red, white, and
my Lord, yes, my Lord, what a time. Great God Almighty, now what a time, what a time. Now, my favorite story in this song is this Dory Miller story. I'd never heard of Dory Miller before I heard this story in Oh, What a Time. During World War II, black men had to fight to get into the Navy. And then when they were admitted, they were not trained to go into battle. Black men were only allowed in the Navy as cooks. So Dory Miller was what is called a mess boy. But when the Japan began to bomb the ships at Pearl Harbor, Dory Miller took over one of the guns. And the story went out that he was able to bring down several planes. And it was captured in a verse of this song. And it went, 1941, colored mass boy, he manned the gun. Although he had never been trained, stood at his post and took dead aim. He was willing Japan to fight, stood at the guns to set things right. God willing and mother with, you gon' be great Dory Miller yet. 6 long weeks we didn't hear from him. Colored press began to hum. Mother, father began to worry. It came out in the Pittsburgh Courier, spreading the news all over the place. I love Dory Miller, cause he's my race. We'll have a time. Now, I was in a church the first time I heard the song, and I can still see the leader doing this. I love Dory Miller, cause he's my race. His head was thrown back in the air, and he sort of swung it from side to side in pace with the line. It was a declaration of pride, and my heart beat faster at witnessing all of this. After that, my father talked about the kind of concern that went through the black community when they read in the white press that a colored mass boy performed admirably. They wanted to know, does this mass boy have a name? Who was he? And during that time, the two national papers we really depended on were the Chicago Defender and the Pittsburgh Courier. And the Pittsburgh Courier broke the story, letting us know, yes, the mess boy has a name, and he's Dory Miller. For me, it was a story I learned in church, listening to a quartet. I had never been taught this story in my history lessons in school.
We're just picking up your normal naval history book. No, you wouldn't read about Dory Miller.
I first heard about Dory Miller from my father. It was very, very early 50s.
How did I know about Miller? Well, I was of age during that time, and Miller was on the news.
I learned about Dory Miller through my father, who was born and grew up in Waco, Texas. He met Dory Miller at an assembly after the war. Dory Miller came to town as a war hero.
Before World War II ended, President Roosevelt had died and there was a new president, Harry S. Truman. Soon, there was a new war.
The attack upon Korea was an outright breach of the peace and a violation of the Charter of the United Nations. By their actions in Korea, communist leaders have demonstrated their contempt for the basic moral principles on which the United Nations is founded. This is a direct challenge to the
Korean War was waged without a declaration of war. It was sometimes called a police action or the Korean conflict. People still went into battle and soldiers died. The Gospel Pilgrims recorded a song called Battle in a Foreign Land. The lead singer was one of the most important topical sacred songwriters, Otis Jackson.
Oh, well, now the battle in the foreign land done got started again. Oh, the battle in the foreign land done got started again. Well, don't you know the battle in the foreign land done got started again. Children, you better run to God, you better pray. Well, don't you know the battle in the foreign land?
Beat the gold is
done got started. We got a the battle in the foreign land.
Done
got started again.
We got a
you know the battle in the foreign land.
I know the
done got started again. Children, you better run to God. You better pray.
Well, way over around the Pacific Ocean in a place we call the Korea, there's a big crowd of people has gotten together trying to overthrow the UN's plans. It was May, June, or July when this awful thing began. They start shooting and killing the women and men. It's a scandal and a shame. Good God, you know the battle in the foreign land.
I know they done got started. We got them out of the battle in the foreign land. I know they
done got started.
We got them out
of the battle in the foreign land.
I know this gun got started again.
Children, you better run to
don't you know the battle in the foreign land?
Done got started, we come to
the battle in the foreign land.
Done got started,
we come to know the battle in the foreign land.
Done got started again.
Children,
you better run to God, you better pray.
Then MacArthur contact Truman, then Truman got trouble in mind. Then he called to Congress and Congress assembled, said we gotta make up our mind. Then Congress told MacArthur, use every available man, because through God's will and his mighty hands we saved the UN's band. Red God now to battle in the foreign land.
Done got started, we come to battle in the foreign land.
Done got started,
we come
to battle in the foreign land.
Done got started again.
Children, you better run to God, you better pray. Well, don't you know the battle in the foreign land?
God, it done got started.
We come to battle in the foreign land. Done got started again. The battle in the foreign land.
Done got started again.
Children, you better run to God, you better pray.
African America came out of World War II and the Korean War with a changed attitude about racism at home. President Truman had issued an executive order integrating the military service. The leading organization in the fight for human and civil rights was the NAACP. The Gospel Pilgrims recorded a song called "I'm Grateful to the NAACP." In the verses, there's a reference to the 1949 Florida case where NAACP lawyers were successful in getting a new trial for three black men who had been sentenced to die in the electric chair. When there was a success, it lifted the black community up and gave hope that injustice within the system was not forever. It was possible and important to fight for change. The Gospel Pilgrims performing "I'm Grateful to the NAACP."
Well, I'm grateful to the NAACP.
Well, I'm grateful to the NAACP.
Well, they have my mother, father, sister, brother, and me. I'm grateful to the NAACP.
Well, in the year of 1943, the campaign manager had a talk with me. These five letters, let me tell you what they mean. They have helped more people than you've ever seen. We've been down in Georgia, Mississippi, too. Well, we fought for human rights as other races would do. Come on and join, you don't have to fear. We have grown to the 80,000 people every year. That's why I'm grateful to the NAACP.
Well, I'm grateful to the NAACP.
Well, they have
my mother, father, sister, brother, and me. I'm grateful to the NAACP.
Well, in the year of 1949, you can remember the Florida crime. I'm talking about Shepard, Irving, and Greenlee. They were saved from the jail by the ACP. Attorney Ackerman, along with the ACP, appealed to the court for the innocent three that they might live. Sure, you gone, because reporter Ted Poston made it known that they are some poor mother's child. Craig Cotter Almighty got another trial. That's why I'm grateful to the NAACP.
That's
why I'm grateful to the NAACP.
Well, they have my mother, father, sister, brother, and me. I'm grateful to the NAACP.
Well, not this one thing you can bear in mind. You can depend on them any old time. Wake them in the morning, wake them late at night, and they will get right up to fight for human rights. Because God on its throne, smiling down from above, on the NAACP, fighting for brotherly love. That's why I'm grateful to the NAACP.
Well, I'm grateful to the NAACP.
Well, they have my mother, father, sister, brother, and me. I'm grateful to the NAACP.
Well,
I'm grateful to the NAACP.
Well, I'm grateful to the NAACP.
Well, they have my mother, father, sister, brother, and me. I'm grateful to the NAACP.
The 50s saw an increase in tensions around race within the country. This was the era of the nonviolent civil rights movement. From 1955 to the end of the 60s, the equilibrium of American society was rocked by waves of social and political protest. Black people engaging in massive civil disobedience served notice on the nation and the world that we would no longer tolerate the abuses of American racism. And as we marched, we sang. In jails, we sang. Everywhere, on television, in paddy wagons, were the sounds of black people singing about freedom.
No more shooting! No more shooting, no more shooting.
One man, one vote is all we ask for. We wash for you, we cook for you. We even sweep your house, iron your clothes. Now you won't let us in.
The movement was made up of everyday, ordinary black people. Maids, cab drivers, hard-working people, farmers, students, elementary, high school, and college, who stopped their normal routines and put everything at risk to transform their local communities and thereby the nation. They were visible because they put themselves in streets and jails with huge mass rallies held in the only place open to them, the black church.
I know that there are those who will be critical of us because we want to be free. But it seems to be a natural gift to want to be free.
The church is more than a place of worship. As we know, during the 60s, freedom movement, civil rights, the church was also a center. A social center always was that, but a center for discussion. And we know in the South, for example, and there was talk about registration and how to do it and how to avoid all the pitfalls and all the tricks that the registrars had, especially for poor people or for black people. The church was the center of it.
Oral historian Studs Terkel. We know what the masses who participated in the civil rights movement said because we have their songs. They called them freedom songs, and most of them came out of the church. Ain't Gonna Let Nobody Turn Me Round came out of the Albany, Georgia movement during the summer of 1962. Fifth Circuit Federal Court Judge Elbert T. Tuttle issued an injunction banning demonstrations. The text of the injunction was read at the next mass meeting, and the response came with this song, recorded by the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, Freedom Singers. Ain't gonna let nobody turn me round.
Ain't gonna let nobody alone.
Turn me round. Turn me round.
Marching up to freedom land.
Ain't gonna let
1950 to Lord, turn me round, turn me round, turn me round, ain't gonna let you fit to Lord, turn me round, keep on walking, yeah, keep on talking, Lord, marching up to freedom land. Let no city commissioner, Lord, turn me round, turn me round, turn me round. Ain't gonna let no city commissioner, Lord, turn me round. Keep on walking, yeah, keep on talking, Lord, marching up to freedom land. Ain't gonna let segregation, Lord, turn me round, ain't gonna let segregation, Lord, turn me round, and keep on walking, yeah, keep on talking, Lord, and marching up to freedom land. Ain't gonna let nobody, Lord, turn me round, turn me round. Turn me round, ain't gonna let nobody, Lordy. Turn me round, keep on walking, Lordy. Keep on talking, Lordy. Marching up to freedom land.
In 1961, the first person to be killed as a result of supporting the workers trying to start a voter registration drive in Mississippi was Reverend Herbert Lee. He was killed by E.H. Hurst, a member of the Mississippi State Legislature. Hurst was never arrested or brought to trial. Bertha Goba, a civil rights movement organizer, created a song out of the understanding these student organizers had to grapple with, and that was, if you went into some of those southern counties to try to get black people to vote, you and the people who joined the struggle would be risking your lives. They went on anyway. The song, "We'll Never Turn Back."
We've been beaten, we've been strong,
was a spiritual arranged by John Work. It was sung by many African-American high school and college choirs. In the jails of Albany, Georgia, Bertha Goba and Janie Culbert used this song to address the mayor of Albany, Asa Kelly, and the police chief, Laurie Pritchett. The song was called "Old Pritchett, Old Kelly," performed by the original Freedom Singers.
Pritchett owned himself like freedom, 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 freedom in jail, freedom, 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 been in jail. Bail's getting higher.
August 6, 1977, I was in Peace Park in Hiroshima, Japan. It was the anniversary of the dropping of the bomb on Hiroshima by American warplanes. That morning, there were thousands of Japanese in the park participating in a ritual to honor their dead. I walked through the exhibit hall looking at photographs of the destruction of a city and its people. I left Peace Park changed. And a song began. For the music, I turned to the quartet preaching ballad style I had learned as a child in Southwest Georgia because it allowed me to tell a long story. In the song "Believe I'll Run On," I tried to write about the insanity of war and the commitment not to give up, but to run on anyway. "Believe I'll Run On, See What the End's Gonna Be." Performed by Sweet Honey and the Rock.
The USA built a bomb in 1945. Hundreds and thousands were burned alive.
Yeah,
no, it fell on Hiroshima on August the 6th. And 3 days later, Nagasaki was in the same fix. Well, this terrible thing that I have to share is that my chronicle does not end there. Well, to this day, you know, we still pay the cost. Over 600,000 of lives have been lost. The nuclear testing is spreading all over the world. Little boys playing with buttons, well, it makes my hair curl. Now we got the A-bomb and the hydrogen too. And one would think, Lord, that would really do. But you see, we got a man in Washington who's leading the fight to protect human beings and to give equal rights. Well, he made a statement just the other day, concerned with the dangers of nuclear display. It seems that when the bombs fall, well, the buildings do too. Oh, and that is not the object, no, the victim is me and you. Well, now Carter made a case for the neutron bomb, killing only people, bringing property, no harm. And I'm gonna run on,
see what the end gonna
you know
be.
I'm gonna
history is sacred for African Americans. It is so because it is the only chance you have of knowing who you are in spite of what is being rained down upon you from a hostile environment. Sometimes the only sanity from racism was the culture we created that counterpointed the lies, a culture that was expressed through songs that allowed us to have our own story. Sojourner Truth, powerful woman leader and orator of the 19th century, was a singer who sometimes found it necessary to create her own songs. She took a tune that was very popular during the Civil War period. Many of us know it as John Brown's Body. Harriet Beecher Stowe took this tune and wrote her Battle Hymn of the Republic. Well, Sojourner created her own battle hymn using the same melody, but the message was fierier. She celebrated the entry into the Civil War of African-American soldiers from the state of Michigan.
Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah.
Documents created by African Americans from inside the community. That is another American story. It is sacred because it is connected with the very survival of the people. African American sacred songs as history. This has been a part of the Wade in the Water series produced by National Public Radio and the Smithsonian Institution. The senior producer is Judy Moore Latta, associate producer Sonia Williams. The technical director is Renee Pringle. Production staff includes Beverly Oliver, Joseph Gill, Dakia Simmons, and Tawan Mercer. We extend special thanks to Ray Funk, Doug Seroff, Kip Lornell, Jane Pippick, Njamili Rollins, and NPR member stations KQED and KCFR. No Noise Processing by Sonic Solutions, WGBH Radio in Boston. The executive producer is Sandra Ratley Lewis. I'm conceptual producer Bernice Johnson Regan.
Major funding for Wade in the Water, African American Sacred Music Traditions, was provided by a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities. Additional support was provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the Catholic Communication Campaign, a parishioner-funded program that gets the good news around. This is NPR, National Public Radio.